7 and 7 is where we are. Matthew 7 and 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Add the blessing to the reading of thy word, Lord God, and with confidence we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for standing. As we travel our way through Matthew 7, we're entering into a new section that most have labeled the section on prayer, because it really begins to explain to us how we should pray and why we should pray and what we should expect from our prayers. But I would not like to limit this section just to prayer, because I think sometimes it's not just talking to God about things that Jesus is dealing with tonight. I really believe that God is trying to help us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ learn how we as his children can learn how to get what we need from God. I will tell you that there is a struggle that you and I have to deal with on a regular basis. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are battling a demonic battle. The spiritual warfare that rages amongst us is so much bigger and so much of catastrophic potential than you and I would even surmise. And I say to you that when we're battling these difficult spiritual battles, the biggest thing is, am I able? Have I put my finger on? Have I learned? Has God shown me? Am I growing in grace and developing in maturity? Is there an ascent to my spiritual progression that somehow, no matter what I face, no matter what I encounter, no matter what I go through, I can make it as long as I can get what I need from God? The problem is, we're handicapped in this area. Why is it? Listen to me. Why is it that good people are quitting? Explain that to me. Why is it that longtime veteran Christians are falling? Why is it that stamina is dwindling? Perseverance seems to be a thought of yesterday. Tell you what. Somewhere along the line, somebody got disconnected with God. And let me tell you something, sir. And let me tell you something, ma'am. You can finagle your way out of those little whimsical situations and those little pitter-patter, barely much of a sprinkle rain showers that come into your life, and you can pull out your umbrella and maybe you can run from your car to the store and somehow manage not to be too drenched. Listen to me. You can pull out your innovative thinking and your financial troubleshooting, and you can use your charisma and your intellect and your background, and you can use your past experience to somehow get you out of your little situations. But can I tell you, the rain is going to pick up its speed and the wind is going to blow a little harder, and it's going to get louder, and it's going to get tougher, and there's going to come a time in your life where all the times before you got out of it, but this time is too big for you, it's too hard for you, it's too much for you, it's too insurmountable for you, the odds are against you, the obstacles are bigger than you, the pressures are too heavy for you, the burdens are weighing you down. And my friend, if in that moment you've lost your touch, you've lost your connection, you've lost God's phone number, under you shall go. Oh, listen, listen. I want to pass the church of people to know how to get through to God. I think that some of us have learned in our Christian life. Who to run to when we get in trouble. And we have fallbacks and backups and bailouts and Superman, Wonder Woman. And we get in trouble and someone is just, we all have that person with, no matter what it takes, that person just always is right there for me. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's going to get your number. And he's going to schedule adversity when he knows you can't get through to that person. And he's going to orchestrate snares and pitfalls and dangers and calamities. And he's going to set up one right after the other. And here's the interesting thing. The devil is going to do it. And a providential God is going to let him. Now that is ironic. That's baffling to me. And here's where some of you are tonight. You're not mad at the devil. Because you expect him to hate you. You're mad at God because you wonder why God lets him. I don't know if I'm going to get to my text tonight. Because I feel God leading me another direction right where I am. I'm talking to some of you right now that what you have read in your Bible about God and what you are dealing with circumstantially in your life do not seem to match. What you read in Matthew 7 and what you experience in your closet don't seem to agree. And you're not mad at the devil. You're mad at God. Why? I have prayed. I have asked. I have cried. I have fasted. No answer. Watch this now. Your prayer life is broke. You don't want to admit that. Because that means you have to go back and relearn what you've been telling everybody you mastered. So you just choose to live in the narrow corridors of self-denial. I know how to pray. I am a long-time Christian. I've read scripture. I've read books on prayer. I have a prayer list, a prayer regimen, a prayer routine, prayer mechanics. Pastor calls on me to pray. Folks are impressed. Excuse me, sir. We don't judge or rate the success of your prayer life by how good you sound when you pray for the orphan. We don't rate the success of your prayer life by how powerful you sound at men's prayer. We don't rate the success of your prayer life by how well you've been able to formulate your prayers like prepared speeches and recitations that have been studied and practiced for hours and hours on time before. We don't rate your prayers by that. The truth be told, some of the most successful prayer warriors in this church tonight are those that pray with jumbled up words and groanings that cannot be uttered. And if I call on them to pray tonight, some of you boys be chuckling. Listen what he said, but he gets through. You wouldn't hold a 10 up. He stutters, he stammers. She's quiet, she mumbles. She mumbles. But when she asks, it's given. When she knocks, it's open. She seeks, she finds it. Hey, I want to be on her prayer list. I want to be on his prayer list. Hey, beloved, tonight, with God's help, may we be a church. You say, what is the spiritual fortitude of Crossroads Baptist Church? How do we develop an impenetrable atmosphere and infrastructure in this church? What secures us through the storms of life not to be shaken, not to crumble, not to be destroyed? How can the devil drive past 5811 Hoffman's Lane and tremble at attacking this place? Is it the glorious sound of the choir? Is it the wonderful financial giving of our tithers? Is it the expertise of our teachers? Is it the beauty of our facilities? Please know, I say to you that what keeps this church rock solid going on for God is the power of prayer. And if you haven't figured out how to get through, you are a weakling on the chain at Crossroads. We have a prayer list on Wednesday night. And some of you, with the aid of all of the names that Ricardo has printed out on the prayer list, can't even stay down for 10 minutes. All those names. You know what you're telling me? You don't have it now. If you're up in 5 minutes with that long list, with designated time to pray, you just don't like prayer. I won't teach you how to get through to God. Let me give you one or two things. Are you with me? I'm ringing the bell, or I'm just flunking it. Am I where you are? Have I come over anybody's house yet? Am I in your business? Am I where you are? If I'm not ringing anybody else's bell, I'm ringing mine. Ding, ding, ding. I want to get through. I want to get through. What confidence does my family have in me if Daddy can't get me done? What in the world does my wife go to bed thinking about if her husband has not figured out how to dial the Heavenly Father's number? I'm asking you, sir. How can you raise kids with no connection? Ma'am, how in the world are you going to mother children, 2012, and you don't even know God's number? And if you do know it, you're so behind on your bill, your phone is off. I'm just asking, what are you going to do when that child comes home pregnant and you don't have a connection? I'm telling you don't have a connection. Oh, they come home, they stay out too late, you just beat them. But what happens when they're beyond the age of corporal punishment? And now you're crying yourself to sleep because you want to be a grandma, but you didn't want to be at this soon. I wish somebody would say amen to me. And young lady, I'm going to ask you a question. What are you going to do when you're the reason that mama is a grandma and you don't have a connection? And the boy that loved you, once he found out you're pregnant, is nowhere to be found. You have no connection. You got all these social programs. They give you stamps. They give you counseling. They give you bibs. They give you diapers. What are they going to do when you can't fall asleep at night? You can't get a job because you can't find a babysitter. And the ones you can find, you can't afford. Oh, God, you need a connection. What are you going to do, young man? Huh? When you get answered, you want to wait on the Lord. So you want to pursue marriage prematurely. You want to pursue a mate unlawfully, unbiblically, illogically, senselessly. And now you're in a relationship. And the error of your ways has created an unlawful union. Now you're forever connected with someone you had no business fooling with. And now the choice is to be made. Do now I make a second mistake? The first mistake was messing with them. The second mistake is marrying. I'm asking you, what happened when you came connected? Oh, I wish somebody would help me preach tonight. What are you going to do when your integrity is questioned on the job? And the bride is set before you, seemingly conspicuous. Inconspicuous, seemingly secretive, confidential. You can cheat and no one will know. And you're gonna make some money off of it. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do when you don't have a connection? It's in the moment. You got 5 minutes to make a choice. You don't have time to go home and get counsel. You don't have time to call the office, set up time with me. You got it. There's nothing. If you're on your phone, don't you have no service in that building? You got to hit a button, yes or no, right or wrong. Hey, all of you that sitting back there going, "Come on now, you just do right." You ain't never been there. It ain't that easy. Why in the world did Jesus turn at these fellas after all that he said? And in the middle, you think Matthew 7 came because it just was nowhere else to fit in Scripture, and Matthew 7 was the only chapter in the Bible that had enough room to fit these three verses? No, 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 no. He spent 5 telling us the truth. He spent 6 telling us the truth. He spent 7 telling us not to judge, telling us not to be hypocrites, telling us not to waste our time with dogs that didn't want to listen. And then he looked at those fellas and said, all of the spiritual stuff that I told you to do, you're going to need my help to do it. So then he said, ask. Oh, I think contextually, we have studied this passage all along. And I'm going to tell you tonight, some of you that have been telling other people that God did not answer your prayer, you got it twisted. He did. He did. Ask and it shall. Oh, I've been asking him and he didn't answer. Yes, he did answer. You know what he did? He gave you enough grace to deal with the fact that he hadn't given you what you asked him for. I wish somebody, listen to me. He did answer your prayer. And the problem is, you've been too busy asking him for this. Give me this, and give me that, and give me this, and give me that, and take me here, and let this application go through, and let me get a call from this person, and let this breakthrough come through. And the truth of the matter is, bigger than things, you ought to be asking God, help me not to judge. Help me not to waste time on the wrong people. Help me to love my enemies. Help me to have a single heart. Help me to seek the kingdom of God. Help me to be merciful. Help me to be poor in spirit. Help me to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Help me to mourn. Help me to be a peacemaker. Help me to love God. Help me to lay up treasure. Help me not to be so cheap. Huh. You know, Jesus was looking at them fellas saying, in order to live Matthew 5, 6, and just the portion of 7 that I've given you fellas, you're going to need to employ my help. Here's what he's saying. Come on. Ask. Are you following me tonight? So let me teach you ask. And then next week I'll get to see you. Ask. Here it is. Plead. I had to ask myself, how much of my prayer is pleading? I pray with my boys before they go to bed at night. I should clarify. I pray with Kevin and Kobe before they go to bed at night. I have no boys. The other ones, they pray on their own. I pray with them sometimes. But we pray for some of you by name. And I'm trying to teach them. You go to God to get what you need. Daddy, don't forget the CDC project. Don't forget the 100 Nations project. All those names, right? Don't forget Pastor Norris, Pastor Bishop, Pastor Jesse. Pray for Miss Denise, right? We pray for Miss Denise. Pray for Miss Denise. That she'll get what? She'll get a what? Get a husband?
A husband.
No. So she what?
Won't have to work.
That's right. So she won't have to work? Isn't that what you told me, pray? There's nothing wrong with that. We don't want her to give a husband. She keep going. We want to give a husband to work enough so she can stay home. So they pray that. And they prayed for her to get a job. She came back and told them, I got the job. I want to teach them to be prayer warriors. Amen. Pray for Miracle Mansion. Pray for Uncle Carl to build a camp. Pray for Carol Johnson. They pray for these lists of names. Sometimes I get into chapel with the kids sometime on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Miss Jarrett and Miss Simmons. I get to talking to the kids and I get to cry. And they just think that that's so weird. They're nudging each other. Are you mad at us? But you know what I'm learning? I guess the older I get, the more I pastor. That there's something that rings in the ears of God in a very delightful way for His children to plead with Him. And some of you are going, oh, He must want me to plead because He just likes to see me suffer. No, He wants you to plead because it is from the lips of a pleading child that a father knows you're desperate. Ask! Ask! Plead! Plead! Ask! I want to ask you this week, how many times did you plead with God? By the way, this pleading must come from a surrendered person. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And hear me now, my friend. Some of us today have claimed Matthew 7, but the problem is we can't expect the results of Matthew 7 until we start living the life of Matthew 5 and 6. I'm asking, Pastor. I'm asking. I'm telling you, I'm asking. You know what you're judging to? And you're wasting your time on reprobate. And you're stirring up strife instead of being peacemaker. And you're laying up treasures on earth. And you're double-minded. And it's on that ground that you're claiming Matthew 7. And you have to realize that when Jesus turned to them and said, ask, He was turning to those who had already agreed to live what He'd already said. Ask! Ask! It comes from a surrendered person. It comes concerning a spiritual purpose. Ye have not because ye ask not. That you, and in other words, and then when you do ask, you want to consume it upon your own lust. And some of you can never get Matthew 7:7 living in your life because you want God to answer your prayer so you can use His answer for your own lust. By the way, here's a good looking statement. How do I know if I want God to answer my prayer for carnal lusts and selfish purposes? Here's another one, please. How can I tell myself that when God answers my prayer, I will use His answer for His glory? How can I know? Hey, I'm going to help you tonight. Look at what He's given you already and see how you're using it. If you're not tithing off of what you have, don't expect to tithe more when you get more. Come on. If you got one talent and you won't use it in the church, stop asking God for two more. If you got one car and you won't putt-putt your way to the house of God, don't expect God to give you one with a better engine and a quicker acceleration. I wish somebody helped me preach. Listen to me. If you won't apply the Bible you know, don't ask Him to give you spiritual insight to learn more Bible. Come on. You won't raise the kids you have it up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Stop asking God to let your wife get pregnant again. We are creatures of habit. Truth be told, there are Christians in this church that are struggling today with the same stuff they were struggling with 10 years ago. Consistency, soul winning, punctuality, whatever. They were doing it 10 years ago. And they've been waiting on God to break through in their lives. I'm just praying. You're wasting your time. Get right with God. And don't get to the S of supplication if you keep flunking out on the A of adoration and the C of confession. And the T of thanksgiving. There have been times in my life where I chose not to ask God for something that I really thought I needed. Because I ascertained at that point in my life that I wasn't doing enough with what He already gave me. Have you ever gotten word from someone that said, "You'll never bother me. You can ask anything you want." And you know in your heart and mind that if you ask them, they'll do it. But you know that you did them wrong the last time you asked. And you got too much shame to go back and ask again. You know, it wouldn't kill us to get a little bit of that shame when it came to the Heavenly Father. Last time we ate and ran. You know what I'm saying? We sat down at God's table, ate food, didn't pick up a dish, didn't offer clean up after, didn't even say thank you, it was good. And now we're hungry again, and we God, I'm in the area. I wonder what you're cooking tonight. I just gonna run through real quick. Matter of fact, put it in a box and set out on the porch. That's how some people come to church. They drive through church, run in the side door and out the other door. Just run in real quick. Give me an extra value meal by way of something. A sandwich, a fries, and a drink. 3 points, Pastor. Sit down, give me 3 points. Let me say I did church today. Yeah. Listen, the best restaurants are the ones you got to sit down for a while. Let the waitress go back there and let the chef do his thing. The best things in life are the things you wait for. I'm saying, anybody pleading with God tonight? He comes from a surrendered person for a spiritual purpose with a sure perspective. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Plead, 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 plead. You say, Pastor, I am pleading. But the problem is your begging is not founded in your believing. Oh, my God, please, I need you. Sure, I hope you heard me. What? I hope you didn't get saved that way. I'm praying. I sure hope God saved you. Well, you can't live right. You're still hoping your salvation went through. I lost my confirmation number. My salvation. I can't find the receipt. I can't remember. Huh? I think I paid for it. I think it's mine. The name tag fell off. That don't look like my salvation. It don't feel like my salvation. It's a lack of faith. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Then you must plead for supernatural provision from a surrendered person concerning a spiritual purpose with a sure perspective and for supernatural provision. I'm asking you tonight, when's the last time you did some pleading for grace? For guidance? For goodness? God, I need you. God, I need you. I hear God say, "What do you need? What do you most?" And I hear the spiritual child of God say, "I need you most because there's no way I can live the Sermon on the Mount without you." That's what I've done. Truth be told, God, I'm asking you to make me look like you. I'm asking you to personify, amplify, personalize, and internalize the scripture in my life. So the Bible is jumping from off of the page into my lifestyles, forming my habits, dictating my thoughts, controlling my desires. The truth be told, some of us are asking for the wrong things because we've fallen in love with the wrong person. And if you'd learn to live Matthew 5, 6, and 7, not only would God answer your prayers, but God would write your prayer list. Delight thyself. You have a prayer list? That's great. You got one. Did all those things on that list you want, did you get the ones from God? So I asked myself, I'm praying for this. I don't know if God wants me to have it. So clear the list, God. Right? You write the prayer list. You know what I find out? When God writes the prayer list, Brother Barry, very little of it is about me. When I write the prayer list, very little of it is about other people. But when God writes the prayer list, He starts putting brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, such and so-and-so. What God writes, you know what? God writes the best prayer list. Watch this now. When He told me to pray for it, He's got to answer. Delight thyself also, Lord, you to give me title. One of the most misquoted verses of life. And it goes right in Matthew 7. Ask and it shall be given. You know what that means? What's that? Go ahead. Turn on them fools on television. Turn them on like some of you do. That's why your theology is so jacked up. Some nut told you, you ain't praying hard enough. Name it and claim it. Hallelujah. You really think you can name something God don't want you to have, claim something God don't want you to have, and get it from God? Some of you say, I got it. Yeah, but look at the postmark. Look at the return address. The devil's name's on it. You got it. God ain't sent it. That's why 3 weeks later it was gone. But it turned out to be totally different than it said on the package. I'm going to tell you, God ain't never gave me nothing that 6 months later wasn't just as good as it was first day. Truth be told, I've been digging deep down into the box my salvation came in, and I found it was some goodies down at the bottom. I ain't even know what's down there. And I'm telling you what, if you'll dig deep into the blessings of God, you'll not only find out that they're good, you'll find out that they're better than you thought good was. Good. Problem is, we are theologically mistaken. We learn the Bible wrong, we live the Bible wrong, and therefore we are leading others wrongly in the Bible. We stink at prayer. We stink. God don't want me to have it. I settle for it. Okay. No, He just wants you to get right before you ask. Some stuff on the prayer list don't even belong on the prayer list. I'm waiting for Christian people to call into the church on Wednesday and say, pray that I'll be a better soul winner. No. That's too cheesy. Put my health need. Ain't nothing wrong with health need. Financial need. Physical need. But Paul said to Gaius, I would that your health would prosper the way your soul is. In other words, I hope that God will start blessing you physically, financially, relationally, as much as He's blessed you spiritually. In other words, I can't wait until the rest of the areas of your life catch up with your spirituality. That's what he said. 3 John. You know what the problem is? Most of us need our spirituality to catch up with our finances, because we are so far behind spiritually than we are in every other area. And God said, if you'd set the apex and the bar and the standard of excellence on your walk with God, maybe I could stick my holy hand in the rest of your life and not have to stink up myself by fooling with the areas of your life that grieve my spirit. Plead with God. Begging God for something in this church that we've never seen before. God, right here. I'll never expect you to be a better church member than I am. I don't want to
ask you to come on visitation by my soul. I don't want you tithing all the time. I want you to give yourself to this book if I let. There's no pastoral judgment seat and layperson judgment seat. We're all going to the same judgment. You get no breaks. You ride with Brother Williams in the car. He speeds, the cops let him go. He inadvertently flips to his ID past his badge. And after he has recklessly swerved all over the road, his fellow officer said, "All right, man, I'll holler at you." I drive much less recklessly, just a few miles over the speed limit. The same guy goes, "License and registration, please." Whatever. I want you to know, I get no special grace in the judgment seat because I'm a pastor. I can flip past every badge I wanted to flip past, show my ordination certificate, all those I've led to the Lord, all those I've baptized, all those I've discipled, all those who are in heaven because of my personal soul winner. But if I've not lived the personal holiness and true discipleship out where God could see it, wood, hay, and stubble. Let's bombard the throne of God with pleading that demands a response. Our Father.